Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song. If you would please, open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17. What a blessing it is to be redeemed tonight. I'm going to try and be short tonight. Pastor Algy class, Brother Dave Hardy, always told us that he's never heard a bad short sermon. He heard a lot of bad long ones, never heard any bad short ones. Jeremiah chapter 17. We start reading in verse 5. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Tonight we're going to be talking about, where is your trust? Where is your trust? Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God, and I thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come to your house tonight. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we're here to take advantage of the time we have in your word. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be ready to listen, Lord, ready to apply the truths to our hearts, Lord, so we can better ourselves for you. And God, I pray that you'd help me right now. Lord, I need you. God, without you, I'm nothing. Lord, if I come up here myself, Lord, I do not have a message, and I pray, God, that you would help me to say only what you'd have me to say, Lord, so we can better ourselves for you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Companies have mastered the art of infomercials. Greatest invention of my lifetime is the DVR, and there may be some people in here that don't remember what a commercial is, but companies know how to sell their products. If I was to name a product to you, there many of you, I'm sure, could describe a commercial that you've seen from that company to me. If I was to describe a detergent commercial, it would probably start off something like this. There would be a young boy in his soccer uniform, and his parents would drop him off at a game, and he would be playing in that game and slide in the grass and get all muddy and stain his socks. Then they'd show a clip of a man that would be drinking a cup of coffee, and he would spill it all over his shirt and all over his pants. And then the wife would get the laundry in the laundry room and look at it and shake her head and with a smile on her face, put it in the washing machine and apply that detergent. She'd pull it out and it would be clean. And all those commercials, they would compare what the fabric looked like before it was washed and after it was washed. And they would also even show, maybe compared to other detergents, and show you how their product is better than the other, and you cannot live without it. That's the art of contrast and comparison. Selling their product by showing how much better it is than the other. Showing the benefits of one thing and the benefits of another. Here in Jeremiah chapter 17, God had given Jeremiah a message. And he's speaking to him at this time, and he wanted him to get this to the children of Judah. And God here in verse 5 through 8 gives a contrast, a comparison on what a person's life is like if they trust in man, and what a person's life is like when they trust in God. The first thing we see tonight in verse 5 is the results of trusting in man. The mindset of man today is to trust in self. We live in a world full of psychiatrists and people that tell you to be all you can be, that you can accomplish anything if you set your mind to it and you just need to follow your heart. And we have all these self-help books that tell people how they can to be the person they want to be. And because we have such a respect for ourselves, because we have such a high view of ourselves and trust ourselves, there is a huge lack of respect for authority in our world. People want to do things their way, and from birth we know that people want to do things their way. Jackson, the past few months especially, has become more independent. He has these pair of shoes that he can put on all by himself, and he is so proud of it. When he knows that we're about to leave, he'll go get those shoes, and sometimes he'll come, we'll have a diaper on and those shoes ready to go, thinking he's done his job to get ready. And there are many times that Jackson will put those shoes on and come to me, and they'll be on the wrong feet, and I might try and help him, and he did it himself, and he does not want me
to change that. Or he'll come to me and it's maybe the wrong pair of shoes that his mom didn't want him to wear that, didn't go with his outfit, and I may try and change it. He wants to do things his way. He wants to be independent. He wants to trust himself. You know, it's good for us to be independent, for us to be able to take care of ourselves, but our independence and our human nature can bring it to such a point that we trust in ourselves more than we trust in God. This trust in self has even crept into so-called religion today. I found this quote here online this week. It says, "We're always taught that God wants us to only say, 'I can't do this without you, God. Whatever your will is, God, that's my will too.' But God says He is our Father, and there is no good father who wants his children to have no will and to think that they can't stand on their own two feet. So maybe what you should be saying is, 'I can do it, and I have a strong will. I know what I want.' When you think God's left you and wants you to be sitting like a duck, maybe He's actually believing in you and teaching you how to fly." We live in a sick world. We live in a wicked world. And the Bible tells us clearly over and over again that we are to trust in God and not to trust in ourselves. The Bible tells us, cursed is the man that trusts in man. His life is not going to be one that's going to turn out well. The first thing he talks about here about trusting in man is that he maketh flesh his arm. If I was to be hanging off of a cliff tonight, I would not, no matter how strong a man in here would be, I would not want to have someone just holding me by my arms over that cliff. I'm not going to put my trust in that. I'd want a rope. I'd want something that I know would hold me. I could grab a handful of men here tonight. We'd go out to my vehicle, and I bet maybe five or six of us could pick up the front end of that vehicle. I could, if I wanted to, crawl under the vehicle and change the oil and do some work under the hood, but I'm not going to put my trust in that. You know, many times we try to go on our own arm strength in our lives. Many times we just say, hey, I can do this on my own. I can make it in my own power. And we may for a while, but that's a way to a cursed life. They say, this man maketh flesh his arm. It says in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The New Testament talks about walking in the power of the flesh or in the power of the old man. In Galatians 3:3, it says, are ye still foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? We're trusting our own self. We're not just depending on our own strength, on ourselves, but we're also having a heart that's departing from the Lord. Just recently, we had a few college students leave for college, and I remember that age. I remember that big step in my life to leave the house and to go live on my own. And when I first left, there were a lot of questions I had for my parents. When I had some things going on with the job or some decisions I had to make or some bills that I needed to pay or maybe things I needed to set up for me and my family after we got married, I had questions. I needed help on knowing how to make the right decision on how to do things a certain way. But the longer I've lived on my own and the longer I've been away from my parents, the more my heart is departing from needing them. The longer that we live in our own strength and the longer we live doing things in our own power, our heart is eventually going to begin departing from the Lord. We're not going to see that need for Him in our life. We're not going to see that we need to trust in Him and depend on Him. The more we live on ourselves, the more blinded we're going to become and our heart will depart from Him. And that's a dangerous place to be. We see here in verse 6 the results of trusting in man. It says, for he shall be like a heat in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabit it. He says he'll be as a heath in the desert. That heath there, it's describing a bush or some kind of plant that has been away from water, from moisture. And we know that most plants cannot live without a good amount of water. And eventually these plants dry up. The root system will dry up and you could pour all the water you want on it, but it's not going to soak anything up. It's a dead plant just floating around. You could talk about a tumbleweed and compare that to it. He says, those that trust in man are as that heath in the desert. No purpose, no direction. It's going to accomplish anything. No fruit will come from that. And it says, and shall not see when good cometh. It also says that it inhabits the parched places. If we are living a life of trusting in self, we're not going to, as we talked about our heart departing from the Lord, we are not going to see a need for the things of God in our life. And if you are living in yourself, if you are trusting in yourself, you could be sitting in here tonight, and if you are living a life trusting in yourself, as I'm preaching, as the Word of God is being spoken, you are not going to be getting what God has you to have. You have to come to a place in your life where you say, Lord, I need You. I trust in You. But the longer that we trust in our own self, the more barren we're going to become, and no fruit is going to come from our life. You know, many Christians are trusting in herself more than God, and it is leading to families that are being torn apart. There's the divorce rate is just continually rising, and there are men and women that are falling into temptations, and families are being torn apart because they trust in themselves and forget to ask God for that power to make it in their marriage and to be the best spouse they could be. You know, children are messing up, making wrong decisions. There's kids in churches all over America that have been raised in a good church, but because of a choice that the parents made and let the kids make their own decision, and a choice that the kids make also when they're old enough to make a decision to live right and to trust in God, they trust in themselves. Now we see the world is changing. We see what the world is like today. The unsaved people of this world do not have God, and because they do not have God, they cannot trust in Him, so they're trusting in themselves. And we see what man has become in trusting in just himself. We see what the world is coming to, and man just trusts in himself. Why would we want to live like the world? Why would we not want to take advantage of God and the ability that we have to trust in Him and trust in ourselves as those in the world trust in themselves? Turning your heart from the Lord and trusting yourself is just as someone was to be drowning. A life preserver or a lifeguard would come to them and they would resist help. It's a tragic thing. It's not the life we want. The result is a cursed life. The Bible reveals the results of man trusting man. And let's see, secondly, the results of trusting in God. Verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." If you want a blessed life, we'll put all our trust in Him. We will rely on Him. We will look to Him as our refuge and our strength. The Bible says in Psalm 46, 1 through 3, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof." God is our refuge and strength. That word trust means, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's confidence. A reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. The Bible tells us in Proverbs again, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. If we're going to be putting our trust in the Lord, if we're going to be trusting in Him, that means all of our concerns we will trust God with them. Amen. That temptation that's in our life, that vice that is there that continually takes us, we can trust God with that. The job that we have as parents to raise our children, we can trust God with that. The choices that we have to make at work, or the choices that we have to make in our day-to-day life on what we're going to do with our family and with what we own, we can trust God with it. We trust God with our safety. The Bible says in Psalm 9:10, and they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. What a blessing it is to have a God that will not forsake us. He's always there. We can trust Him with asking for wisdom in our life. We're at a hope in God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I want that blessed life. I want that happy life. And if we want the happy life, we need to hope and trust in God. We see here in verse 8 the results of trusting in God. It says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." First result of trusting in God we see here is that we will be rooted in God. He says, "As a tree planted by the waters that spread its roots out by the river." There are two things that roots provide. The first thing is stability. If a tree has a good root system, it's going to be strong. It's going to stand in the storm. It's going to stand when the wind comes. If someone was to try and pull it, or if it was to have something heavy sitting on it, if it has a good root system, it should stand strong. It provides stability and it also provides nourishment. Those roots is what gets the nourishment that the tree needs to live and to grow and to produce fruit. And he talks about us being a tree with roots, but he doesn't just talk. He talks to us about being a tree with the roots that is planted by the river. I love to think about that river and about God's mercy and about God's strength that He wants us to have on. It is a never-ending supply. What a blessing that is. If we are trusting in God, the result is a tree planted by the river. We will be strong. We will get all that God wants us to have, and He will bless our lives. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I love that word, all. It doesn't say that He'll provide most of our needs or some of our needs or only the ones that other people think we should have or what we think we should have. He says all of our needs that He sees that we need. Never-ending supply. Result of trusting in God, we'll be rooted in Him and also we'll be safe in hard times. It says there in verse 8, it says, "And he shall not see when heat cometh, and he shall not be careful in the year of drought." If we are trusting in God, we will not fear what man can do to us. A few weeks ago, my family were on a trip. We were driving back through West Virginia, and as we were driving on the road, we were in the mountains there, going over the mountains and around the mountains, and it was just, those roads are a mess. I know some of you have driven through the Appalachians, and sometimes those highway systems can be pretty dangerous. And we're driving on the road there, and it began to rain, and it began to rain hard. I couldn't see very far in front of us. I thought about pulling over, but on those mountain roads, if you were to pull over, it's probably more dangerous than it is to stay on the road with people that could come and hit you when you're on the side. And it began to rain harder. And I began to feel our tires slip. Occasionally there was a little bit of a hydroplane going on, and I began to pray and ask God for help. It happened maybe 5 or 6 times, and every time it happened, I'm praying, asking God for help, and I'm thinking about my family and what would happen if we were to crash and something was to happen to them. God brought us through it, praise the Lord. And after we went through it, I was praying again and thanking God for the safety that He'd given us, and I looked back and I saw my boys. They were sleeping the whole time. They knew, as long as they were with mom and dad, they were safe. They were putting their trust in me. If we are to trust in God, we won't have fear what man can do to us. If we trust in God when the hard times come, when the heat comes, when the drought comes in our life, we can know that God will provide all our needs and He'll protect us. If we're to trust in God when those hard times come, there will not be any fear of what man can do to us. He says you'll be safe in the hard times. He says also the result of that is that you'll bear fruit. The purpose of a tree is to flourish. And we get many of our fruits from trees that we eat, and we get nuts from trees and different things. And the purpose of those trees is to produce fruit. We know that trees don't have to be planted by a river or planted by water to get nutrients, but we also know that if there was drought, if there's a lack of water, those trees will dry up and the heat can come and mess things up for those trees and for the farmers that are trying to get the produce from them. The Bible says the one planted by the river will not cease to bear fruit. If we are trusting God with our lives and putting all our trust in Him, we will be able to have fruit come from our lives for Him. There's an early point in my ministry and after God brought us here that I realized the more I trusted in Him and the less I trusted in myself, the better things worked out. Now, if I was to come up here tonight in my own power, if I was to try and work with the junior hires in my own power, I'm not going to make a difference. If I was to go up here and try and use my own words or my own thoughts or try to do things on my own, I'd mess up already, but I would mess up a whole lot without the power of God in my life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of tree you are, where you came from, how old you are, how smart you are, how wise you are, what your talents are. God, if you put your trust in Him, is going to use you and bring fruit from your life. Our trust and hope in Him determines the results of our life for Him. We've seen the comparison and contrast here. We've seen the results of a person that lives, that has their trust in themselves or in man. We've seen the results of someone that trusts in God. So what determines our trust? We all know what we're supposed to do. We all know that we're supposed to trust in God. We know that we're supposed to live right and make right decisions and live according to the Word of God. We know those things. But why do we, since we know those things, why do we, since we know how to live right and know that we are to put all of our trust in God, why do men still mess up? Why do we see Christians whose lives are falling apart? Why do we see families who are struggling? Why do we see people that look like they have a cursed life when they are Christians? Why they're saved? The answer is in verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We know the story of the children of Israel. We know what they came from. We know the promises that God gave them. We know all that God did for them to bring them out of Egypt. We know all the miracles that were performed there. We know how they were able to win battle after battle when they were way outnumbered because they had God. We see through the story of the children of Israel how even though they would turn against God, God would punish them, but God would always bring His blessings back to them because they were His chosen people. This passage here, and these couple chapters are dealing with the children of Judah. The children of Judah had a problem with idolatry. They had a problem with sin. There was if you look in verse 1 through 4, we're not going to get there for sake of time, but it talks about how they had a deep-rooted problem engraved in their hearts, on the table of their hearts, the place we're supposed to put the Word of God. They had sin written there. And it not only influenced their lives, it influenced their children's lives, it influenced the lives of those around them. And because of that, they were about to face captivity. They were blinded. Why would they, knowing the power of God, knowing what God had them to do, knowing that every time they trusted in Him and relied on Him, He gave them everything they need, why, knowing that, would they choose to trust in themselves? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Because they trusted more themselves and in their heart than God. We see the deceit of the heart. The world says things like follow your heart or just do what your heart thinks you should do or trust your heart. If we live in that way, we're trusting ourselves and not God. And the Bible tells us here, if we're trusting our heart, that we're trusting something that is deceitful. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You ever been lied to? I think everybody's been lied to. But if somebody lies to you, well, there's the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Someone lies to you, you're a little leery of them, but if they lie to you again, and they lie to you again, and they lie to you again, you're not going to take anything they say for truth. You're not going to ask them advice. You're not going to ask them for information because you're not sure if it's true or not. We do not want to get information. We do not want to be led by a liar. The Bible says our heart is deceitful. Our heart is full of lies. We're not going to follow a person that is lying to us, but many times we follow our hearts and lies of our heart. It's not just deceitful, but it's wicked. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. The reason that the children of Israel were about to face this was not just because they were trusting their deceitful, wicked hearts. It wasn't peer pressure. It wasn't something that somebody came over and tricked them into doing. Nobody came to them and they offered them all these riches or they were bound on these idols. Nobody did those things. They did it because of their wicked hearts. They deceived their own selves. They knew God and His power, and they knew that they weren't to put any other gods before Him. But because they listened to their hearts, they were deceived. The world is wicked. I've already mentioned that once tonight. Why is the world wicked? Because their heart is wicked and deceitful, and they're trusting in their hearts. Man has a sin nature. We're not to trust in man, trust in our own selves, trust in our heart. This is wicked. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If I can't trust my heart, if I can't really follow my heart, then who knows it? The Bible says there in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. God knows the heart. He searches the heart. He tries the heart. It talks about there how he tries the reins. He may bring something into your life, may bring some kind of trial in your life to see how you're going to react in that situation. God knows our hearts. And God says here in His own words, He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You know, God was fully aware of the children of Judah. They're about to face captivity. They're about to be punished again for their wickedness. He knew their hearts. He knew what was going on in their minds. He knew what was going on in their hearts. He knew those sinful practices that were written there. And just as He knew the heart of the children of Judah, He knows our hearts tonight. About a year and a half ago, the Indianapolis Colts were faced with a very tough decision. In 2011, our long quarterback that we've had, that we had a lot of success with, been to the Super Bowl twice with, did not play the whole season because of neck problems. And at the end of the season, the owner, Jim Mersey, and the people under him had to make a decision. Were they going to keep Peyton Manning and hope that things were going to work out, or were they going to use that number one draft pick to rebuild our team? They made a decision at that time to cut Peyton Manning. And I remember that day. I remember riding in my car and hearing the radio Peyton make his speech that, if you lie and say you did not cry, I know you did. Okay? It's very emotional. When he thanked us for letting him be our quarterback. Many people at that time were saying, you know, I'm not going to be a fan of the Colts anymore. I'm going to follow Peyton Manning. Things worked out with the Colts, and many of those people are still Colts fans, but also many of those people showed a great interest in Peyton Manning and his job with the Denver Broncos. And I remember last year, and I am a Colts fan all the way. I like Peyton Manning, but I don't care if he wins or loses. I remember having this debate with people, and they would say that they wanted Peyton Manning to win another Super Bowl before his career was over. And I would say, no, I want the Colts to win the Super Bowl. And they would say, oh, the Colts aren't ready for that. It'll be a few years before that comes again. And I would ask this question. I would say, okay, what if AFC Championship, the Colts versus the Broncos, both of them had a chance, who would you root for? And those people that would say, oh, I'm a Colts fan all the way, that little bit of love for Peyton Manning would really show where their heart was. When they were faced with that decision, you'd really find out where their team was. And I was shocked by a few people that told me that they would want the Broncos to win. Now, they may say they would be a fan of the Colts, but when they are faced with that decision, you found out who their team was. Through salvation, we know that we are to be a new creature and to live a new life for God. If I was to ask you in here tonight, I would say, are you going to trust yourself or are you going to trust in God? I'm pretty sure that all of you or most of you would say, I'm going to trust in God. Through every trial of your life, through everything that comes in your life, who are you going to trust in? You would say God. We may say that, but with our actions, many times we say something different. When you wake up in the morning and you know you're supposed to read your Bible, and the Bible tells us that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, we know that we have to have His Word in our hearts. We know our need for it. Make a decision to not read our Bible for the day. Finding out who your team is. Finding out that you trust more in yourself, that you can make it a day without the Word of God, than your need for God. If you're going through a trial in your life, you can't understand why this would happen to you, you don't understand why this would come up in your life. But instead of going to God asking for help, you complain and you mope. Find out who your team is. God brings a trial in your life, and the Bible tells us that He's going to bring nothing in our life, let nothing come in our life that we don't have a way out of with His help. Follow that trial, you're telling who your team is. Not trusting in God, you're trusting in yourself. You know, no one wants that cursed life. No one wants that barren life, that dry life. No one wants to be that. But if we continue in a way we are trusting in ourselves, we are trusting in man above God, you won't have fruit. And God's blessings will not come. We need Christians who are going to go away from what the world is doing, going away from what many Christians are doing today, and decide no matter what comes in my life, I'm going to trust God in every situation. I'm going to start off my day telling God I trust Him, asking God for His help, for His strength. When situations come, when trials come, when different things come up in my life, I'm going to trust in God, not myself. That is the way to a blessed life. Where are you putting your trust tonight? In closing, let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. David was known as a man after God's own heart. He accomplished great things for God. We could spend hours talking about the stories of David and about the things that David was able to accomplish in his life. As a young shepherd boy, he killed a lion and a bear because he trusted in God. Not long after that, he killed Goliath, the man that no other Israelite man thought he could defeat because they were trusting in themselves more than God. But David knew his God was more powerful than that giant and defeated him. We see how David, story after story about David defeating these armies, about God's power being on David because David trusted in God. We see how even when Saul wanted David dead and David had a chance to kill Saul, David chose not to because he trusted in God that God was going to work things out. We know those stories. We also find David in another story in the Bible that most of us, when we think of David, it may be the first thing we think of, or one of the first things. It's the same with Bathsheba. David went out and he saw her bathing. He wanted her and he called for her. He was trusting his own heart. He tried to cover things up, found out she was expecting, and he sent her husband to her, and her husband was faithful to him in the army. We know the story there. David even tried to get him drunk, and even though he was drunk, he still refused to go into his wife. So David, again trusting in himself, sent him off trying to cover things up, murdered the man. David, when he was approached by the prophet, was given that story about a sheep that was stolen, and David told him that whoever did that needed to be killed. He pointed his finger at David's face and said, "Thou art that man." David began to trust in his own heart. And as that story progressed, David was deceived by his heart. It's wicked, it's deceitful. And David, that whole time that man was preaching to him, had no clue. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God. I'm glad the story doesn't end there. My favorite psalm, Psalm 51, says, it's David. What David was praying to God after this trial, after this whatever happened in his life. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." David repented, and God did bring punishment to David's life, but God also used David. But David, the man after God's own heart, for one moment trusted his own heart. In his old age, come to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. So David's words to his son Solomon. Key to a blessed life. It says, "And thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Where's your trust at tonight? If you want a blessed life, our trust needs to be in God.